much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
It's on. It's on. It's happening.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is happening.
Oh, you want to? Okay.
It's happening right now. These are the first moments of what is happening right now. This is the beginning of what's happening right now.
You want to get your hands dirty?
Yeah, man.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need to go to the gym. I'm going to get diabetes if I don't go to the gym. I really feel like crap. I really do. I don't feel healthy like I did when I was doing MMA. I'd love to get back into the MMA scene. I really would.
He's great, though. He's such a good guy. He's so sweet, and he's so nice. But he's really, really, really stupid. Like, really stupid.
I know. So sit back, put on your 3D glasses, then take off the 3D glasses, because none of this is in 3D. And enjoy
our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin DeBean show. It is a Tuesday morning.
Talking to Muggs this morning about him being in MMA shape, and he said these words to me. Yeah, I'm trying to get the diet started. It's not going very well.
Yeah.
Because this was the New Year's resolution. This was first of January is when the diet was getting started. Now we're what? We're into the third week, maybe almost the third week of February?
Yeah, it's the 12th. So, yeah, how do you feel it's going so far?
Not good.
He would start on the first. He would go, I can't do it on the first because I have a party. And then, you know, on the Monday, I'm going to start. And then he'd say, oh, I can't do it on Monday. And then there's something every single time that why
sure,
he can't
wait for the Super Bowl or right. Whatever. It's like Muggs has told us he's driving across country, but he can't get his car out of the driveway.
You know what's the best, though, is that we keep giving him really good advice and it just bounces off of him. Yeah. I don't think it even sinks into his head. Just falls, our words fall right to the floor.
You both have.
Meaningless.
Yeah.
Meaningless.
Well, we're trying.
Bean's like, you can't, don't think of it as a diet. You have to change your lifestyle and just make better choices. And Muggs will go, yeah, yeah. But none of it, he didn't hear any of it.
Kevin does the eat the half thing as Mug orders the 2 footlongs.
Right.
So that does, and then eats your leftovers. Just so that's not working.
Doesn't make any difference.
Lisa does that. If you get down to 190, you can have some of this. She does that. She offers that incentive.
I
nothing.
Know. What the hell?
What's a girl got to do?
What was the, was it 7? The movie where some guy died of gluttony?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Muggs.
Yeah. That is Muggs.
That's going to be gluttony. Muggs within a week.
Just going to explode.
Yep.
Well, here's a first of all, let me put a personal touch to this story before I tell you what happened. The happy ending in this story is that when I moved to Washington in 1999, I had 21 pets at the time.
Wow.
And some of them were little, you know, rabbits and hedgehogs and things like that. But my turtle, Moesha, was a favorite of mine. I loved Moesha so much. She was with me for many, many years. And
those turtles, man, they give back so much. They play chase a ball.
It's a love fest. It totally is. They crawl up into your lap and
right.
Watch TV with you and have popcorn.
Sure. Yeah.
So Moesha was very dear to me. And we made a mistake. We lost Moesha. We took her out. We were playing in the yard one day and she got away.
You didn't lose her. She got away.
I'm sure she was just curious
right.
As to what was going on in the neighborhood, so she got away, and we looked for her for weeks and weeks and weeks. We were always out there in the bushes, and then at some point you just feel like she got over the property line, and now she's on to somebody else, and we'll never see her again. But I will tell you that a month doesn't go by that I still don't think about Moesha and still look for Moesha in the yard, just in case she turns up, because turtles live a long time, right?
Right.
And then I see this story about this family, the Almeida family, living in Realengo, Brazil. They lost their beloved pet turtle, Manuela, a red-footed tortoise, in 1982 and just found her last week.
What?
1982 is when their turtle went missing. Their house was under 30 renovation.
30 years ago?
Yes.
Wow.
Their house was under renovation at the time, so the family assumed that somehow she had slipped out through a gate, you know, when they were doing construction and whatnot. Well, earlier last month, after their father passed away, the Almeida children returned to help clean out the storage room upstairs. It turned out that their father was a hoarder, so the room was just jam-packed with stuff that he had found on the street. It had furniture in there and broken televisions and all sorts of nonsense like that. So they're cleaning out that room, making trips to the dumpster, and inside a box of records was their turtle.
Alive?
Yes. Manuela was alive. At that moment, I was white and I did not believe, son Leandro told Globo TV. Amazingly, the turtle had survived 3 decades in the storage room, basically what it turned into a storage room in their house. So people are trying to figure out how, like, what did this turtle have to eat and drink? There's one theory in the house that they that the turtle lived on termites because there was all sorts of old furniture in there.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the water come from? Like, how does a turtle get something to drink? It seems like you would need, you know, usually you get your water from vegetables or, you know, grass or something like that. What was the turtle drinking after all that time, I wonder?
So was the turtle trapped up there, essentially?
Sounds like it if it was in a box.
Sounds like he was in the box. I mean, turtles can climb. He happened to be in the box right then. He apparently was in that room for at least a long portion of that 30-something years. Yeah.
I like turtles.
He hoarded the turtle?
He hoarded it, yeah.
They didn't know TLC. They didn't know the turtle was up there, though. That's 30 years later, this turtle turns out.
Unbelievable.
Yours isn't coming back, Pete.
So a happy reunion with Manuel. It's just too bad that the dad is not around to see that. I know. I feel like you're right. I feel like Moesha is gone. But one day, wouldn't it be awesome if she just turned up?
Just flipped you off, then turned back around and walked away.
really, really.
I like turtles.
You know, those turtles, man, they move so fast. You can't chase after them.
It's really tough to catch up.
So anyway, I just like, for the record, a very happy story today.
All right.
To get the program started.
So let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Why not tell me everything you know?
I don't have that kind of time as... Oh, wait. Yes, I do. Comedian Jeff Ross will be in the studio today.
Oh, he's so funny.
Talking about his The Burn, which is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
We have tattoos that you regret. I don't know if you saw the picture of this girl. What a moron. This girl must have been on serious drugs. But
why do you hate true love, dude?
She went out on one date. The first date she went out with a guy and ended up with a tattoo on her face of his name. A tattoo of his name on her face. And it was 2.5-3 inches tall. It was not like little lettering.
They're going to be together forever. What's the problem?
Even if they're together forever, you don't want your entire face covered with a tattoo.
I would break up with the girl who tattooed her face.
Right.
But honestly, if they'd had a second date, it would have been murder-suicide. Like, where were they going to go from there?
That's
how intense this relationship is.
We have James Lipton from Inside the Actor Studio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you something shocking about Mr. Lipton.
Yes?
He's 86 years old.
That is stunning.
Wow.
I mean,
86.
He doesn't
Why,
look and doesn't
How is
sound
he so
86?
Much sharper than we are at 86?
I know. We'll have to ask.
We'll have to ask. Right.
Just have a secret.
How is he so condescending, too? We should ask him that.
When you're 86, you can be.
Oh, I didn't realize that. You burned it?
Oh my God, by that point?
We're going to talk to a doomsday prepper named Jeff Flanagan. I believe that's how you say his name. I watched this yesterday.
Yes.
Guy's got a missile silo.
Yes, I love it.
And surprise of all surprises, he is having trouble finding a woman.
I want a missile silo, by the way.
I'm sure you do.
That's a dream come true for me.
Is he looking for 5'6", 5'7"?
Sort of like that.
Yeah. Okay.
I will tell you the one mistake that he's making is he does lead with missile silo when he's having conversation with a woman.
Well, in his mind, that's a plus.
Oh, agreed.
I'm sure.
But then they would interview the women afterwards, and they go, "Yeah, he's a little weird." I don't think you start with the missile silo. I think you get to know them a little bit, get them to like you a little bit.
Sparkle them with your personality.
Then maybe bring in the missile silo.
Then ask, do you have any survival skills?
Yeah, right, exactly. So we got that coming up today as well. And we have tickets for you for the Killers. We got their brand new album, and we'll put you on the standby boarding list for a trip to Buenos Aires. Is it not Aires? Am I saying that wrong?
Buenos Aires? Yeah.
Oh, whatever. In Argentina. So that's going to be pretty cool. We'll give you a chance to do that coming up. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Mark Hoppus from Blink-182 over the weekend tweeted that he was on his way to rehearsal and was listening to K-Rock, and a Blink-182 song came on, and he was very excited. I thought, here's a guy who's been making records that we've been playing on the radio for 15 years. Isn't it interesting that he still gets excited when he hears one of them?
That is strange.
I would just think that that's the type of thing that you would kind of be used to at this point once you've had, you know, a dozen big hit records, but... Very cool. Love Mark. Love those guys so much. It's 5:52 Tuesday morning. Ralph is here for our first look at the showbiz. Good morning, Ralph.
How can he be surprised when he hears a Blink song on K-Rock?
He should be surprised if he didn't.
Has he heard K-Rock before? For God's sakes. All right, let's talk about the showbiz news. Mark Wahlberg was recently on the Graham Norton show over there in the UK, and all talk turned to Ted. And he said the hardest job of doing the movie, Ted, was that... He had to explain to his young daughters why they couldn't see Daddy talk to a teddy bear in the hit movie Ted. I've been there. My baby girl Olivia wanted a Ted for Christmas.
Ah.
And I looked everywhere for a Ted that didn't talk, for a Ted that didn't say, I give her the dirty Fozzie.
Right.
You know, and I encourage that in your child. So I had to actually order a Chinese knockoff of the bear in order to get it for her. Because all the bears in America talk. I can't have her hearing that kind of filth. He said the movie is really inappropriate for children. But he thought about letting his sons watch when they turned 8 or 9, he said. His wife, who's a little more conservative than Wahlberg is, she put the kibosh on that idea. She said they can watch it when they're in their 20s. So, a little difference there in parental raising.
I would have suspected that Olivia would have heard all of those words from Daddy by now.
How dare you,
I'm
sir.
Just saying.
I'm an
just
ideal
saying.
Father.
Okay.
Claudia Schiffer has a problem with her husband. What do you do if you're married to Claudia Schiffer and she tells you to do something? What do you do?
Do you do it?
That's what I would think. But this is a pretty big favor to ask. According to Star Magazine, she's asking that Matthew Vaughn, that's her husband, director, producer, did Kick-Ass and the X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm.
He wants Matthew Vaughn, she wants rather Matthew Vaughn not to hire January Jones.
Why?
Too hot? Back to doing the next movie. She was, she played Emma Frost, I guess, in the, who'd she play?
I don't know.
She turned to diamonds. I just remember that one. She was the, not to have her back in the next film because there's a rumor that Matthew and January had an affair while filming their first X-Men movie together, and that Matthew's, in fact, the father of January Jones's baby. You know, we've never found out the identity of who that is.
Oh, interesting.
Now, Matthew told Claudia it wasn't true, naturally, but Claudia doesn't want to take any chances, and she's not keen on having January back for the sequel. Now, what do you do there? You tell your wife, no, I didn't have an affair with her. She doesn't believe you, and she wants you to not hire someone for your multi-million-dollar motion picture.
Boy, that's a...
That's a red flag.
That's a conundrum.
It is a tough one. But, I mean, this is just a bigger Hollywood version of, hey, my husband who goes to the office every day, please don't hire a super hot secretary. I'm not uncomfortable with you working around someone like that. I mean, that's kind of what this is.
You have to hire super hotties for movies.
Yeah, I would think so,
you
too.
Do. You do. Yeah.
Ladies, it's okay. Relax. Please put down the shark objects. Don't take those pills. But it's true. Robert Pattinson has shaved his head.
He did?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
A lot of girls are in uproar, Lisa.
Well, he has great hair.
Oh, Lisa, doesn't he just?
Had. Yes.
Had great hair.
Oh, that sexy mane of vampire hair he had. Yeah, he shaved it all off for a new movie called The Rover, which is a futuristic thriller. He's currently filming it in Australia, so... That's just his vibrator.
That's what I was going to say.
Sound like hair clippers.
So he had to shave it all off, and apparently Twihards everywhere are in mourning. So I feel bad for them.
I'm so grateful that we're on the other side of the Twilight movies. I feel like we survived those, and we're stronger for it, and now we don't have to worry about it anymore.
You think little by little they'll be dropping off the Twilight kids who were in those movies?
Do.
And you guys watch The Buck Wild? I know you forced that poor woman, LaQuisha, to watch it every week, but have you watched
Never
any of The Buck Wild?
Never seen it.
Never
seen
any of it?
I have not either.
The hottest girl on that show, in my opinion, is Salwa Amin.
Salwa.
All girls named Salwa are hot, Ralph.
She is she's from Bangladesh. Her family's from Bangladesh.
All right.
And she's a very exotic, swarthy little morsel of sex. However... Apparently, she also likes drugs. She's just been arrested on felony drug charges.
Oh.
And that should make for an interesting second season. Maybe they can Skype her in from inside her cell or something. We'll see what happens. But
what kind of drugs, Ralph? Do we know?
It doesn't say here. It just says arrested on felony drug charges. I'm sure there'll be more details today as we go forward.
Probably all.
Just wondering if they were the good kind or not.
Well, you know, she is a hillbilly. So I'm thinking probably meth.
Meth.
That's my guess.
All right.
It seems to be the hillbilly drug of choice. Don't you think?
Yeah, they can cook it up in the trailer in the back.
That's true.
Yeah, that's hot.
Yeah. She was popped on drug possession with intent to sell last Sunday morning.
That makes it worse.
The chief of Somersville, West Virginia, said his drug task force received a tip about a big shipment set for delivery. They got a search warrant and found Salwa and two of her friends hiding in the backyard. Wow, that's a full-blown like drug deal.
How about that?
She's hot and she's bad. So very erotic.
You just got my interest in the show.
That's hot.
Now, if that was on the show, it would make it interesting. Yeah, but you never see that part.
They leave that part out.
It's Tuesday. Moon's new CDs and DVDs are available for your entertainment dollar. Here's what's available. Holy Fire by Foles. New CD is available in stores and online. Temper Temper by Bullet for My Valentine. Well, that's not nice. It's almost Valentine's Day. You shouldn't be shooting your Valentine. And Bombshell, which if you watch Smash at all, and by the recent ratings, many of you don't. Bombshell is the name of the Marilyn Monroe musical, that fictional musical that they're putting on that show. And they've got the soundtrack to that fictional musical is available.
No great way.
It is great music. I picked that up.
Yeah.
Megan Hilty, Catherine McPhee, Nick Jonas, they're all on the lineup.
You said Nick Jonas like it was good.
No, that part's not so good.
All right.
The other two are. On DVD, Skyfall. If you didn't see there this in is. Theaters, see it on DVD or Blu-ray. Outstanding. Perks of Being a Wallflower, starring Emma Watson, is also available today. The Sessions. That much critically acclaimed film about the dude in the Iron Lung who has the sex surrogate come over and take care of his business with John Hawks and Helen Hunt. Man with the Iron Fists, Russell Crowe, Lucy Liu. Don't bother.
Okay. I'm sorry, what?
Really?
Don't bother.
That was one I was actually considering. Don't bother. Not as awesome as it should be, huh?
Robot and Frank, starring Frank Langella. And Liv Tyler. I've heard a lot of great things about this movie,
actually.
Oh, yeah. It's about the older man, and it's set just a little in the future. An older man who has this robot who he kind of has to bring in to give him assisted living because he's getting old. But the guy used to be a jewel thief, a bank robber. And so he plans one last caper using the robot butler as his accomplice, as his sidekick.
Love it.
Silent Hill Revelation, also available today, and a movie called Smiley. That's the scary one with the guy with the smiley face who carves people up. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ray Manzarek of The Doors is 74 years old today. Actress Joanna Kearns of Growing Pains is 60. Arsenio Hall turns 58 years old. Josh Brolin, what a talented actor. Not a talented drinker, but a talented actor. 45 years old today. China Phillips of Wilson Phillips is 45. Director Darren Aronofsky, who's given us so many great films like Black Swan and The Wrestler, 44 years old. Christina Ricci, where's she been lately? I miss her.
That's a good question.
I miss her boobs. She's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We got ourselves a doomsday prepper coming up next hour here on The Kevin Amin Show, and comedian Jeff Ross joins us. Plus, we'll talk to one of Kevin's favorite TV interviewers, James Lipton from Inside the Actors Studio, joins us in about 15 minutes or so right here on K-Rock.
What is your favorite curse word?
There you go. You're groomed to take over his job when he goes.
First, let's talk about Between Two Ferns. You can see this at KevinAmin.com. We put it up. This, of course, is the Funny or Die sketch where Zach Galifianakis plays a talk show host, and not a good one. And it's called Between Two Ferns because they're literally just two ferns and then a couple of chairs. And this is his special Oscar edition. The first the first person that he introduces and interviews is Jennifer Lawrence.
Ooh, wow. That's a nice guest.
This is a Oscar edition of Between Two Ferns. My first guest is Jennifer Lawrence. Jennifer, thank you.
Thank you.
I got a beef to pick with your co-star Bradley Cooper because... he had told me that in real life that you were
looking through his papers.
I wrote it down. I'll make sure I get it right. Ugly. And I got to be honest, I don't know what he's talking about. Unless he was just joking with me, you're really good looking. So you played in a movie called The Hunger Games.
Yeah, isn't that your life story?
You shouldn't say that. That's off-putting.
You should be off-putting. It's your fat. You shouldn't eat any more pudding.
Yeah, yeah. When you take on a project like Silver Linings Playbook... what draws you into that character? What spoke to you?
Well, I think Tiffany taught... I love that she taught me a lot about... Is this... Are you playing the Oscar then? Are you seriously playing the... Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
In the Oscar tradition. Good luck.
So you ask her a question, she starts answering, and then he just brings in the music and plays her off. And not only does he play her off, but a woman walks up, takes her microphone, stands her up, and just marches her off the set. It's awesome.
Naomi Watts comes up next. Naomi Watts sits down, and this is the conversation that was had with Zach Galifianakis.
You're from Australia, and I heard that I'd read that the toilets work backwards. And do you know what that – have you read about that? Well, I guess for you it's backwards here, but backwards for us in Australia –
yeah, apparently.
Does that mean that the feces goes back into your into your? How does that work?
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah, no, it doesn't do that.
It's not that. Whatever it is, it isn't that.
I know that question, though.
Between Two Ferns, again, this is Zach Galifianakis, and he sits down with Christoph Waltz.
Hmm? I got your text about not bringing up your Mein Kampf tattoo, so we're not, I won't. Have you ever thought about changing your name to Christoph Breakdance?
I have, but it doesn't really make sense.
What is your preparation to get ready for a part?
That's none of your business, to tell you the truth.
You say the N-word more in Django Unchained or more in real life?
More in real life.
Oh. He plays him off. He's not ready yet. The music starts. The woman comes up, takes him off the stage. Very funny. Anne Hathaway walks into the set of Between Two Ferns, and she is clearly smashed and doesn't sit in the only other chair that's available, sits on Zach's lap. Oh. And he points that out.
Well, so you're funny.
Yeah.
You're really funny.
Right.
I like you.
Thanks, Anne.
Sorry.
Thanks, Anne. So how much did you have to drink today?
No, I didn't. You didn't know that. You can't prove it.
To be honest with you, I smelled it on you when you...
No, that's my perfume. It's not that at all.
Is your perfume Kettle One?
All right, she's faking, right? She's not really that drunk. Yeah. Okay.
I would guess, but she does it really well.
Yeah, really well.
Amy Adams, who, she just strikes me as one of the most clean cut.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like in real life, she just seems like she's really nice and easygoing and kind. And that's what makes this such a tough interview.
Amy Adams is here, everybody.
Hi.
You have red hair and...
Yes, I do. I do. Guess what they used to call me in high school?
Cinnamon Muff.
So that's his first guess. And she's horrified. The look on her face is like, what?
No, they didn't call me Cinnamon Muff.
What do they call you? Firecrotch.
No, Strawberry Shortcake, small child's doll.
And they help her off. That was pretty much her experience.
It's quite a special.
It is, right? Between Two Ferns, the Oscar edition. Finally, Bradley Cooper. I'm just going to play the whole thing. It's about a minute long, and it ends up, you'll hear, in a full-on brawl on stage between Zach Galifianakis and Bradley Cooper.
Welcome, Bradley Cooper.
Hey,
Bradley.
Good to be here.
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, Zach.
I got your text about how bummed out you were about it. That was the start of Black History Month. Are you nominated?
I am, yeah.
For what?
For best actor, yeah. Best actor?
How's bragging camp going? Well, I've written a speech.
Really?
Since you haven't written a speech. Yeah, I had wrote a speech.
That's really thoughtful of you.
Yeah, I didn't. I know you're busy.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it.
So he takes the speech, and then Bradley Cooper is going to rehearse it one time just to see how the speech goes.
Thank you. I've just called Daniel Day-Lewis to congratulate him on his victory. So I wish that I had been able to fulfill my dream of being a talented, respected actor, but the Academy chosen someone better. It just sucks. I'm a loser.
In that speech, you don't win.
You don't make a concession speech.
You should.
So I just don't understand. It's like, this is the first time in my life that I'm actually part of something. And you know what that means to me, to be a part of something. That's like my Achilles heel. It's like, I just want to be included.
Well, why don't you join the Boy Scouts or something if you want to be a part of something?
I want to be a part of this community. I found like a fellow person that I love. I used to go see your stand-up all the time. And
it doesn't really play well. You know what I mean?
No,
this victim card that
I'm
you pull.
I'm not being a victim.
Well,
I'm
not being
friends. That's what friends do. You fight with your brother. I watch you fight with your brother all the time.
Yeah, you don't have to bring that up right now on this internet show.
God, all you care about is your goddamn show,
man. No, but all you care about is ferns.
It's like all your ferns, man. It's a joke. I can't stand it.
You throw my ferns in my face.
Who gives a you care more about your ferns than yourself? I'm so sick of your ferns, man. It's bullshit. I'll call you later.
Zach is the only person who should be allowed to interview celebrities.
Between Two Ferns, go to kevinandbean.com. You can watch both videos.
I guess what I'm saying, Lisa, is if you go out on a first date with a guy and his initial question to you is, do you believe that the government of the United States is likely to collapse in our lifetime? That would be a red flag, right?
For me, yes.
That's question one. That's how he starts his dates.
And question two is, do you have any survival skills? That's the follow-up question. And the poor girl is just sitting there going, what am I getting myself into? What's happening now?
That's when you send the secret message to your girlfriend to make the emergency call to get you out of there.
I don't know if you've seen Doomsday Preppers or not, but we're talking about a guy who we're going to speak to in about a half hour. And he's got a missile silo. And the thing that cracks me up about this show, and I didn't realize it until I was watching it yesterday, is that they then grade them pretty harshly.
Wait, I'm sorry. Who grades who?
The Doomsday Preppers, the TV show. They bring in specialists.
To see if they're really prepping correctly?
Yes.
Oh, no kidding.
So the guy who has a missile silo and food for a year and all this different...
And he has a flamethrower, too, doesn't he?
Has a flamethrower and a generator and all this stuff. They give him like a 7 out of 10.
Whoa.
So basically at the end of him doing more than anyone else in the world does, they go, not good enough.
His head must be exploding.
It's genius. It's really genius.
Well, I'm very excited to talk to our latest Doomsday Prepper friend coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Amin Show and comedian Jeff Ross on the program right now. Kevin, I'm a little bit nervous about talking to our next guest because he's a professional interviewer and he's good at it. Yet we're going to take a crack at Mr. James Lipton, who joins us from Bravo TV's Inside the Actor's Studio. Mr. Lipton, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show, sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
Great to have you. I will tell you that I was shocked in researching you yesterday to find out that you do 2 weeks of preparation leading up to the interviews that you do on the Actor's Studio. Like, what can you do for 2 solid weeks for an interview?
I work for about 10, 12 hours a day for 7 days a week for 2 weeks. The reason being that this is the only show of its kind, the only talk show, interview show, that has no pre-interview. There is no pre-interview. And when I decided 19 years ago that that would be the case, forcing us into a conversation, I chained myself to my desk for 2 weeks before every. I sat my computer. There are 300 to 400 cards, all of them prepared by me on my computer, and that has been. If there is a secret to the show, that's the secret. Mm. Show where they absolutely do not know what's coming next.
I watch a couple of YouTube videos before we have someone on. That's it. Is that enough?
Well, yeah, sure, it's enough. Look, I'll be on with you for like 9 or 10 minutes. They're with me for 4 to 5 hours on the stage.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Oh, sure. It's a class at the Actors Studio Drama School at Pace University, of which I was the founding dean. And so, of course, it requires a lot of preparation.
Wow.
You do just as much as you need. I do as much as I need.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, you've interviewed hundreds of people on the show. As you mentioned, it's been on for some time. What are you up to? About somewhere between 250 and 300 interviews so far, right?
We're about to do the 250th episode, and we're already in the process, and that is a two-hour retrospective of the last 19 years.
Oh, nice.
And so far, I have interviewed the following people for it: Bradley Cooper, Jay Leno, Jennifer Lopez, Dave Chappelle, Robert De Niro, Sugar Ray Leonard, Conan O'Brien, Barbara Walters, Christopher Walken. And we're just beginning. That one's going to be a sensation.
Is it getting easier to get, I don't know if it was ever difficult, but is it easier to get guests now that you've been doing it for so long? It's an established product?
Well, easier in this respect that more often than I call them, they call me. And especially during Oscar time, because it's a common wisdom in Hollywood that our show is one of the premier forums if you're looking for an Oscar nomination or if you're looking to win the Oscar, for the simple reason that so many Academy members customarily watch the show.
That makes a lot of sense. Give me some help, Mr. Lipton, because you know we have a similar job in that we both do a lot of interviews on this program. It's not uncommon for us to do 3 or 4 in a day. What is your secret for when you have somebody who just isn't taking the ball and running with it? You're giving them a good setup, yet they're just letting it lay there rather than kind of expand in the way you'd like.
Well, you'd have to tell me which one you think did that, because frankly, I haven't had a problem. Remember that what we're talking about is not gossip. What we're talking about is craft.
Oh.
And when you ask somebody about craft, about how they do what they do, how they got to this place when they're sitting there next to me, they're just liable to recall for you and for the students moments in their lives that meant something to them. And that's one of the reasons that our show, which I originally thought would be rather dry, since we do stick to craft, turned into one of the most emotional shows of kind on the air. It just does.
Now, you've had huge...
If I were to ask you about turning points in your life, important turning points in your life, the same thing would happen to you as you recounted it to me and to the audiences listening to.
I guess you're right in that actors do love to talk about themselves. They are fond of themselves, no, that's for sure.
No, they don't. That's where the problem arises.
Many actors
do not like to talk about themselves. The reason being that they are actors because it's a way of communicating with the world in which they are not in the forefront. They stand behind a character, and they are within the context of a play or a film, many actors, I would say most actors, don't like to talk about themselves.
I have just been schooled by James Lipton. That's what just happened to me today.
Well, you have been schooled by me, but that's the truth. The public thinks that these people just are dying to get out there and talk about themselves. They are not. It's the last thing most of them want. But they do it because they feel that they have to publicize a movie or they feel obligated for one reason or another. On our show, it's a different equation. They don't come to sell something, and they certainly don't come to sell themselves. They come for what? They come to teach the master's degree candidates of the Actors Studio Drama School of Pace University.
Now you have
That's a big difference.
Sorry, sir. You have Hugh Jackman on Wednesday at 8 on Bravo, and this is his return appearance. He's been on one time before. How many actors have you had repeat?
About 8 or 9 of them have repeated.
Well, it makes a lot of sense for a guy like Hugh Jackman because his career is in a totally different place with the kinds of movies that he'd done since the last time you sat down with him. I bet that's a great interview.
Of course. And look, we've been on 19 years. So when you have somebody who was on 10 years ago, 12 years ago, that's a lifetime in our business, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's funny to talk about.
Well, I love interesting people having interesting conversation, and that's what Inside the Actor Studio is all about. Tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on the Bravo channel, Hugh Jackman returns with our guest James Lipton. Glad we had a chance to have you on, sir. Thanks for the time today.
Hey, I thank you very, very, very much.
Thanks. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin DeBean Show at 6:55.
I hate smart people.
You hate smart people because you think they're talking down to you, but they're not. Kevin.
Oh, it's possible they are, though.
They don't care about you one way or the other. It's very possible that they are talking.
That does exist, right? I'm not just making that up.
You could be both.
Yes,
I think
people,
he's a little of both, to be honest.
Thank you, Lisa.
I think he's an old dude who's incredibly academic, and he sounds like a professor.
Yeah, but
and they had that vibe.
Does
sometimes.
He have to say he was the founding member of the Actors Studio? I mean, couldn't he just leave that alone and make his point?
I think that's a fair one sentence recap of what his program's all about, though, Lisa.
I think he's very proud of that program and the thing he's built there in New York. And
right.
I would love to talk to any of his students, and I'll bet they hate that bag of hot air.
No, I don't get that sense.
Yes, anybody does. If you want to win an Academy Award, you go on our show because Hollywood watches.
Well, they do, and people do.
Yes,
they
I know,
call
Ralph.
Us. We don't call them.
Yes, they call us, Ralph. We don't have to call anybody.
It's an oft-used promotional tool for people trying to promote themselves at in the award season.
Yes,
I think it's an honor too, like getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. That's promotional, also, but it's something that people like. I think. Well, I enjoyed talking to Mr.
He has an air of superiority that puts me off.
That was a great interview. I thought. Great show, and he's an interesting dude.
Nope.
6:57, Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Sure it is. I think King of Mexico put his finger on it when he said that Kevin hates preparation. That's why he hates Lipton so much. I can't imagine working that hard for 2 weeks for an interview.
Why does Kevin hate
James Lipton?
Snob.
Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? What do you do if you're Britney Spears and you need a new man? Where do you go?
The actor's studio.
How do you meet quality men if your name is Britney Spears?
Well, she goes to the Quickie Mart, right, to get coffee.
No.
Dancers. She meets a guy, she goes to guy dancers. There.
According to this story.
For real, I don't know. I don't know where she would go.
She's been prowling around on MillionaireMatch.com. And
no.
RichSoulmate.com.
No.
Looking to find Mr. Right.
Let's be honest, I need money.
She's done a lot of anonymous flirting online, but she hasn't really met anyone in the flesh yet. But that's where she's looking for a new man.
Can you imagine if you're on that side and you're talking to somebody you don't know that much about, but you're intrigued, and then you find out it's Britney Spears?
Yeah.
You run for your life, right?
I would think, yes.
I would hope so. Since we're talking about romance, everyone in the world has asked, how did Jason Sudeikis land Olivia Wilde?
Great question.
How did Jason Sudeikis land Olivia Wilde?
Funny you should ask, Bean, because GQ magazine asked Jason just that question. Said, give us some pointers in landing a fabulous woman like Olivia Wilde. How do you do it? And his answer, I think, will make you puke.
Okay.
He said, keep your eyes open when a woman is speaking. Use words like please and thank you. And most importantly, mean what you say and say what you mean. Shut up.
Shut up.
Jason Sudeikis.
Lisa, anything to that? Is that good advice?
Well, it is good advice. I mean, it's good basic advice.
I mean, it's nothing, though, but if you're not funny and charismatic and charming and on a hot television show and have a lot of talent and a lot of money.
All of that helps as well.
Yeah. If he was a plumber who showed up at her apartment to unclog her toilet and he kept his eyes open and he said please and thank you and he meant what he said and said what he meant, she's not dropping panty for that dude.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
You're useless to us, Jason Sudeikis. We come to you looking for truth, and you give us nothing but lies. And congratulations to Don Johnson. He's just settled his Nash Bridges lawsuit.
That's still going on?
Yeah.
It was?
He sued the guys who produced the series, claiming he didn't get half the profits that he was entitled to. The show ran for 66 episodes. But the producers, as they do, claim the production didn't make any money. Oh, distribution costs and production costs. Oh, we're still in the red on that show. Oh, there's no money to give you. We have no money. It's
so
a
when it
very
was renewed for
production math.
When they renewed it for a second season, they were losing money, and then they renewed it again for a third, still losing money.
The
fourth
longer
season.
It was on, the longer it was on, the more money we lost. You owe us money.
But in court, they could prove that, right? I mean, they can prove it's not true or whatever.
And they have.
Oh.
Case went to the jury, and they awarded him more than $23 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good, by the way.
It's worth the time.
It's all said and done, and Don Johnson walks away a little richer.
Remember, Ralph, when was it the screen? Who was suing Forrest Gump, and they claimed it didn't make any money? It made like $300 million or something like that. They claimed it was still in the red.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. My friend Kevin Smith often tells a story how they're he's still trying to get his money for Clerks.
What?
Yeah.
How many years ago was that?
20?
25, maybe?
Wow.
That movie was made for like $8.
Right.
It was in black the minute they put it on a movie screen. They made money.
They had to make money on that.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Kevin was right. Thank
you.
I don't say this very often, but Kevin was right. There was a weird moment during the Grammys when Adele was about to give her acceptance speech. When that guy ran up to the microphone and started talking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Told her she was his inspiration.
Yeah, Kevin brought it up. He said, who was that chick? He stood next to Jennifer Lopez and then rushed the mic. Said that Adele was his inspiration.
But then turned and walked right off. So
ran off.
No security was needed. And it was sort of, you couldn't really see it very well.
They didn't have time when he was on stage to catch him, but they did catch him. He is Vitaly Sidiuk.
Who's that?
He is a Ukrainian TV host, a wacky Ukrainian TV host, who's known for pranking celebrities. Remember the guy who tried to kiss Will Smith on the red carpet of the Moscow premiere of Men in Black 3? And Will Smith said he was going to knock him out?
That's right.
This guy...
Same guy?
This guy crashed the Grammys and crashed the stage and got up there and was quickly arrested and spent Sunday night in jail in Los Angeles. So
for making a false acceptance speech?
Yes, some splaining to do. I think he broke some security issues or what have you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ray Manzarek of the legendary L.A. band The Doors is 74 years old today. Joanna Kearns, who was the mom on Growing Pains, she's 60. Josh Brolin is 45 years old today. China Phillips of Wilson Phillips fame is 45. We got to get some of that
that
song.
Hold on.
Yeah, that was good. Speaking of songs... The whole time you were talking to James Lipton.
Yeah.
You forgot the most important thing of his life, of his career, that you just glossed over and never paid any attention to.
Didn't have time. He was talking about himself too much.
Oh.
What did we miss?
He wrote the theme to the legendary cartoon series Thundercats.
Really?
Hit it, Steve! Thundercats are on. You wrote that, you'd have a feeling of superiority too,
wait,
Kevin.
He wrote Thunder, 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 Thundercats?
You don't get it, man.
Wow.
You just don't get it.
He and Anthony Kiedis need the room together.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Minutes away from, how about this, a chance to go see the Killers in Buenos Aires, Argentina. We got details at KRock.com and listen for your cue to call in just a couple minutes. Right now on the Kevin Amin Show, let's talk Doomsday Preppers.
Across the country, ordinary Americans from all walks of life are taking whatever measures necessary to prepare
I'm preparing for a global earthquake.
An electromagnetic pulse.
Total economic collapse.
Terrorist attack.
Comet impacts with planet Earth.
And protect themselves.
Pounce on the prey.
From what they perceive is the fast approaching end of the world as we know it.
Yeah.
These are my people, Kevin. I love these people.
I know
they're
you
not
do.
They're not wrong. Look, anytime you can take a situation and see the worst possible outcome, I think that's a good thing.
Here's what Jeff is going to do, and then we're going to talk to him.
For the last 3 years, Jeff Flanagan has been attempting to turn a 17-story, almost 40,000-square-foot former missile silo into his doomsday dream home.
So he bought the missile silo that you wanted, Bean.
That's very upsetting, but it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Jeff, on the phone from Wisconsin, joins us on the Kevin Amin Show right now. How are you, sir?
Well, good morning.
That missile silo is pretty dope, man. With enough money and enough time, you could turn that place into a palace.
Absolutely, and that's what it takes, time and money.
Jeff, I got to tell you, after I actually watched this episode, and how long have you been working on the missile silo?
I've been working on it for about 3 years now, as I can, and I go out there in 2 week stints and do what I can out there. But we're starting to make pretty good progress on the place. We're past the demolition phase, and now we're to the point where we're putting infrastructure back in, electrical and plumbing, that type of thing.
Because I got to be honest, when I watched it, I didn't see it before, but it sure looked like the before picture when you were walking through, and there was water on the floor, and there was tagging everywhere, and there was pieces of wood hanging down low. It looked like it's going to be another 20 years before you get that ready.
Yeah, there was a substantial amount of demo to do, but in reality, that went pretty quickly. It took a lot of hard work because there's only one way in and one way out, and all that debris and everything's got to go out the same door.
Sure, sure.
And it's got to go up quite a few flights.
Jeff, what's your fear? I mean, what made you a doomsday prepper? What kind of end of the world or catastrophic situation are you most afraid of?
Well, I don't subscribe to the real extreme theories, but I think there's a strong possibility of economic collapse. And that's what I try and prepare for. You know, we're pretty uncertain in the business climate right now. And, the value of the dollar has gone down substantially,
right,
that type of thing. And
you're worried about hyperinflation and runs on product and things like that, not being able to get to the store, and maybe gasoline being in scarce supply and those sorts of things. So you're just trying to prepare a place that you can be where you'll have everything you need for as long as you need it.
You got it. Yes, you hit it right on the head.
How long can you exist in that silo once you get set up?
Well, once everything's set up, then food would be for a year minimum. Water would be indefinitely, and basic survival beyond that would have to involve some farming and stuff like that.
About people approaching your silo trying to get in? What then?
That's pretty easy to fend off. The place is pretty secure and pretty well stocked on methods to defend myself.
Yeah, you got a flamethrower, right, Jeff?
Wow.
Among other things, yes.
Yes, he does.
Well, of course he does. I bet The Walking Dead is your favorite show. Am I wrong?
You know what? I would love to run into that kind of scenario. I think it's unlikely, but wouldn't it be fun if we could all live in a video game like that?
You're the only person that has ever said I think it would be fun to live in that scenario.
Right. All right. One of the reasons that Jeff got tagged for Doomsday Preppers, and one of the reasons why his episode is so fascinating for tonight, is they spent quite a bit of time with you looking for a woman. Now, you're divorced, right? And you have not really dated much in the last 6 years. Is that right, Jeff?
That's correct.
Okay.
And Doomsday Preppers and National Geographic approached me with the possibility, and I was open to the opportunity.
And it's not – I mean, Kevin, you saw the episode.
Yeah.
Why don't you critique Jeff's technique a little bit for him?
Well, here's the thing, Jeff. You sit down with a woman that you've never met before, and you sit down to dinner, and then, like, this is your first question.
Survival skills? Got any survival skills? No.
I'm not sure talking about the end of the world and survival skills and you have a missile silo. I'm not sure you should lead with that stuff. Maybe get to know him a little bit. Maybe get to know him a little bit and get him to like you a little bit first and then bring the crazy.
Sure, it's probably not the best icebreaker, but of course, for the purposes of the show, we did have to have some shock value.
Okay.
Yeah, I got it. But, I mean, again, I think Kevin's on to something. Maybe a little bit of how about them Packers, you know, maybe just kind of soften her up a little bit before you start to get into survival skills.
I don't know that any right. woman who's on a blind date wants to be asked about her survival skills first thing.
I would also imagine that most girls are just, I mean, their vaginas start clenching up when they start thinking about being dragged off to a missile silo, because that just sounds like something you're never going to get out of.
Yeah, and ironically, you get exactly the opposite reaction out of guys, because everybody wants to see it.
Absolutely. Sure. Are you kidding me? I love it. All right, well, we're almost out of time here, but Doomsday Preppers is the show. It's a great show that we've talked about for years here on the Kevin Bean Program. It airs Tuesday nights at 9 on Nat Geo, and it's in its second season now, and your episode airs tonight, right, Jeff?
Absolutely. It comes on at 9 Eastern, 8 Central.
Hey, can you tell us what the what your grade was or whatever it is? They grade you at the end of it, the prepper?
You know, I think I don't recall the exact number, but I was in the high 50s or low 60s, somewhere in there.
Out of 100?
Out of 100,
wow,
yeah.
Now, that's so interesting.
They took a guy who has a missile silo and they gave him a 50.
What do you yeah. have to do?
That show must be effing with you because you're a million miles ahead of the rest of us. And you only got a 50. Yeah, I could get a 40 and I haven't done anything.
That's a tough curve right there. All right, Jeff, we'll let you go, man. Good luck to you. I hope the world doesn't end on your watch, and I hope you find a girlfriend. Thanks for the time today, sir.
Okay, take care.
Let's talk about tattoos for a minute here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't have any. I've thought about it. But I see guys like Justin Bieber, who's got like 6 now, and he's 18 years old, and I think, how much are those tattoos going to still mean to him when he's 25 or 35 or 45? If you get tattoos too young, don't you think you're setting yourself up to regret it at some point?
You have Bieber's name tattooed on you, don't you?
Just Bieber's name. That's okay. The only thing. That's the only one I have, because Bieber is forever. But my point is, if you make a decision on a tattoo at 18, what do you think the chances are that you're still going to dig it when you're 40?
I don't know. I think some people always like it. And then there are other people who probably change their minds. But this is extreme. And we're going to take calls from you if you have tattoos that you regret. You got the tattoo. You thought it was great at the time. You may have even liked it for a couple of years, but now you're ready to move on and get that off. This particular story is the most bizarre one I've ever seen. I don't even know if I believe it. There's a Russian woman who starts dating her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. On the first date, she finds out that he's a tattoo artist. And after the first date, he tattoos his name on her face.
That's not a euphemism?
No.
He really tattooed his name?
Yeah.
Wow, and boy did he.
And there's like three or four letters on each side of her nose.
It's
and
nuts.
It's 2 to 3 inches tall. It's not a tiny little script or anything. It covers her face.
My God.
She looks like she's in Kiss. That's how much, yeah. It looks like it's that much makeup on her face, but it's actually a tattoo.
And now, she looks pretty.
Yeah, she looks like she was look pretty.
Aside
a pretty girl.
From the face tattoo.
Now, Kevin, you are a murderer of love, so of course you hate this. But she met him on the internet, so it's going to last forever.
She met him on the internet, and they went on one date. What could go wrong?
Less than 24 hours after they first met, she got his name tattooed on her face.
Remember when we had Kat Von D and we were saying, you know, what's the biggest mistake people make? And she said almost always it's putting their love of their life, you know, on their body someplace. And she tries to discourage any of that. But this is so much worse because it's in giant letters on her face.
But he's as nuts as she is because he wanted to do that.
Well, his face is covered, as is the rest of his body. But so what? I mean, he's crazy. Who's crazier? I think she is.
Well, she is, for sure.
I do, too. Yeah.
Maybe they belong together.
I guess. Maybe they'll be happy forever.
But look, it's, again, as Kevin says, it's not like she got it, she got it over her belly button or on her, you know, her back or something like that where she could hide it. I mean, this is forever. She's got this.
Removal would be terrible.
Terrible, painful, expensive.
And probably scarring.
Yeah, although there's no, I mean, this article is from February 5th, and I have not heard any kind of a follow-up that she has regretted it yet. So far, so good.
Oh, no way. You know she regretted it when she sobered up after the first time.
She's a week in now. She's still sporting that tattoo. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for tattoo regrets. And by the way, they don't necessarily have to be bad tattoos or embarrassing tattoos. They just have to be a tattoo that you outgrew. That could be fine, too. So 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Chris, for instance. He is on line 4, and he'll get us started here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Hi, Chris. Thanks a lot for listening. What's going on, man?
Hey, what'd you do, nephew?
What'd you do?
No, I unfortunately, back in the 90s when X-Files was big, got an alien head tattoo. But it was in the tram stamp area, so now I've got an alien head tram stamp.
Yeah.
That is embarrassing, Chris.
So I mean, any time an alien is taking you from behind, man, you got it coming.
Well, that's the only way they do it.
It's bad news.
That's a good point, Lisa. Any guy who gets a tramp stamp tattoo is going to regret it, though. Don't you guys think?
Yeah, why'd you put it there?
Yeah, why was that the location you chose, Chris?
You know, I was 17 at the time, and to be honest, I really don't know. I walked in, I said I want an alien head, and the guy's like, where do you want it? I'm like, I don't care. He's like, how about your back? I'm like, all right. So I put it there, and now...
Were you drunk?
No.
All right.
Now, is your big regret, your biggest regret now that it's an alien head tattoo, or just the location of it?
The fact it's a tramp stamp.
That's a tramp stamp, yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I got you. All right, man, thanks a lot for calling. 1-800-520-1067. Tattoos you regret. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Roastmaster General, Jeffrey Ross, joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now we're talking about tattoos you regret. Sean writes in, sorry, guys, couldn't call. Work is unreasonable about these things, but I have a good friend of mine that got a tattoo in the 80s that said, it's my prerogative. It's 3 inches high letters across his back, and it is misspelled. Yep, I make a point of bringing it up every time we get together, Sean.
Sweet.
That is exactly the kind of tattoo that I'm sure seemed hilarious to him at the time. Maybe not so much now. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, where do you want to go? We're not going to have time for all of these, but they got some great ones on the line.
Let's try Myrna. Hello, Myrna.
Hi, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi there.
Hi, Myrna. Very sexy name, by the way.
Thank you.
What's your tattoo you regret?
On the bottom of my left butt cheek, I have my ex-fiancé's name, David, on my ass.
Oh,
good. Now, and you said ex-fiancé.
Yeah.
So what about the dating since then?
Okay, so like some guys actually like it, and they use it as a prop, and other guys, like my son's father, said he wouldn't marry me until I got it removed.
Really? So you got it removed?
No, I didn't, because 4 months after me and my ex-fiance broke up, he killed himself. So now I feel like I would be like a horrible person if I removed it.
What's happening? How did this go so horribly wrong? We were just having a good time, Myrna.
We were yucking it up 30 seconds ago.
Maybe so
you just hit us in the head with a sledgehammer. All right, good. Thank you. Bye.
Myrna, bye.
Wow.
Quickly hang up.
Hey, keep kill to yourself to yourself.
Let's try Angel / Angel on line 4 joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Hey, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hey, Angel, your story doesn't end in death, does it?
No, good. No.
Go ahead, then.
Yeah, I got a black and red star about the size of a palm on my neck. But the guy didn't go deep enough that the ink actually came out. Mm-hmm. It was like a scar, and it's just ugly, and it's still haunting me.
Did you get this done in prison?
Good question, Lisa.
or at a Raiders game?
Nah, it was a buddy of mine, and he was still learning. And
close
enough. Oh, there you go. All right, it does sound like a homemade tattoo. Okay, thank you very much for the call. Hey, let's go to Glenda and ask if she's going to be there, first of all. But second of all, here's what happens when you get a tattoo and then circumstances change that are out of your control. Hi, Glenda. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
What happened?
When I was 18, I got a tattoo of a like little devil heart that's pink, and now it's the Bad Girls Club logo.
Oh, that sucks.
So it meant something to you, and then all of a sudden now everybody thinks it's in reaction to the TV show that didn't even exist when you got it made.
Exactly. I always get, are you part of the Bad Girls Club? And I'm like, no.
The answer is yes, Glenda.
So what are you going to do about it?
I'm hopefully going to get it covered up. because removing it hurts like hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, look, I sympathize with you. I mean, I got that Buck Wild tattoo like 5 years ago. I thought that was going to be the coolest. Now it's a stupid MTV show. It's not my fault. All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to, let's go to Chris. Chris is on line 3, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Chris. Welcome to K-Rock.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hi. Good. What's up?
Okay, well, when I was about 19, a bunch of friends and I, we went to Tijuana to go hit the nightclub is out there. Mm-hmm. And a friend of mine, Ulysses, him and I thought it would be a great idea since they had a tattoo artist inside the club getting tattoos that we would get Killa Cali matching tattoos on our hands.
Killa Cali.
Yeah, like the West Side Connection.
Right.
Nice.
And obviously they're still there and they're visible. They're like right above my hand, so I can cover up one side with a watch. The other side just says Killa, and people are always like, what the hell does that mean?
Oh,
and now
dude.
I'm 27 and I'm a dad and people think I'm a cholo or something.
Oh, awesome. Dude, that's tough. That is tough. Yeah. Thanks for the call. By the way, here's the thing about music. Lots of people get lyrics, lots of people get bands, and you may think that your band is going to be your favorite band of all time, the one that you're really, really... Like, Chip, I think, is fine. Chip's got Foo Fighters tattoos,
yeah, and she'll
she's
be
got
a
the,
off, forever.
The Offspring tattoos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Neither of those bands are ever going to disappoint her. In 30 years, she can still look back on Foo Fighters and Offspring and be proud.
Even if they break up or whatever, she's still like them. Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who go out, and because Hootie and the Blowfish is the biggest band of the world, they think they're forever, you know, or Nickelback or any number of other groups that may be hot. But, man, I don't know. Chip, Third Eye Blind, I don't know that 20 years later you like Third Eye Blind.
Chip does have a Chumbawamba tramp stamp.
Oh. Well, there is that. And how about you, Muggs? I want to bring you into this conversation.
That'd
because
be so great. Yeah, is not, Bean!
Is he not in the room? Did
my
Muggs walk out on this?
A beer mug on my foot is outrageous!
Because he's got to regret that by now, right?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, good times.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Destination number 5 of the K-Rock World Tour 2013, The Killers in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Got a chance for you to win your way into possibly winning in a drawing that we might do. That's next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. I know, it's a sure thing, right?
Sounds
first, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and then Jeff Ross joins us after the top of the hour. Good morning, Ralph.
Argentina, home of the bolo. The bolo tie? Well, the bolo tie came from, of course, the weapon, the bolo. That's
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what a bolo is?
No.
Is it
the gauchos? The gauchos would use the bolos.
Okay.
That doesn't describe them.
The bolos.
I don't even know. What that is.
I don't know what the bolos are.
Can you describe the bolos?
One of the greatest weapons, hunting tools of all time. Originally used by the gauchos for hunting. And for lassoing calves and horses and
so it's like a rope?
No! Well, then how do they lasso
with it?
It's a length of rope or cord with two weighted balls on either end. So the gauchos had these amazing balls. And they would twirl the bolo over their head and they would throw it. And
they would twirl the balls?
Yeah, they would twirl their balls, and then the weighted ends of the bolo would wrap around the legs of whatever they were trying to catch, like calves or whatnot, and it would wrap around their legs and hobble them, and they would go down.
I see.
So the gaucho, of course, you know, the Argentinian comparison would be the American cowboy, where cowboys would use lassos and lariats. The gauchos would use the bolos.
I'm very sorry I asked, if I could be honest.
Bolo, one of the great inventions of man.
All right. I'm not arguing that.
You are. You don't know about the bolo.
I agree with you on the bolo.
And then the bolo tie came about because a bolo tie has those two weighted ends to it with the clasp in the center. So
I guess I'm going to believe you.
Oh, this isn't the Liars Club,
I don't know.
Lisa.
At
this isn't a game show.
It looked like you were really pulling to try to figure out what it was.
I'll bet you.
But I'll believe you now.
I'll bet you just a peek under your shirt that the bolo is exactly what I explained
it's okay,
it to
I
be.
I believe you.
But damn it.
Obviously.
Was sarcans. All right, I have a lot of corrections to make.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or?
I do, yes. first, I would like to.
A lot of corrections.
I would like to damn Bean to hell.
Why?
I would like Bean to go to hell.
What did I do?
No,
but why specifically
there
this
for
time?
All of eternity? He would sit.
What did I do?
At the right hand of Satan, and Satan would prod him with his pitchfork.
What happened? What did he do that was wrong?
Bean was the one who told me that James Lipton wrote the Thundercats theme.
Oh, he didn't?
No.
It's all. It's everywhere, all over the internet, all the time, always.
Well, if it's on the internet, it's got to be true. Right?
I came across it a bunch yesterday when I was researching for our interview.
Couldn't possibly be a hoax perpetrated by CrackedGut.com that went viral and became accepted fact when in reality it's not the case at all. That couldn't have happened, right?
I did not know that.
Open up a blog.
I like to stay current with lies and falsehoods.
Ralph can lie plenty on his own. He does not need help.
It's on IMDb, by the way, which I thought was fairly reputable.
Well,
no?
It's got to be real, then. It's got to be true.
Look, I didn't have any way to independently source it, but that was my understanding in my research. I apologize if I led you astray. My error.
Burn in hell.
I
that seems extreme,
sworn.
But all right.
JK!
JK! That's what Bean said after he told me that information. Secondly, I reported yesterday that Haley Hasselhoff got a DUI.
Yeah, the daughter, yes. The
like father-like daughter of the Hoff. Uh-huh.
Yes.
According to her PR people, thanks to the good people over there at Mona Loring PR. That's not true.
That's not true?
It's not so much true.
It wasn't her?
Not so much true as it was not true.
JK!
Okay, you're not the only one who was reporting that either, Ralph.
No, I got it from what I thought to be a reputable news source, but it turns out she was pulled over for speeding, but it was just speeding. It was not a DUI arrest.
So. Well, I'll tell you, it's a little scary, the stuff that gets out there, that starts out false, and then just gets accepted by everybody. And
look,
then
you
it's
see
impossible.
It in enough sources. Yeah. You believe it. Like Bean did with the lie that he made me tell.
Look, I apologize. No one likes to be wrong less than I do.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Look at you being wrong all the time.
All the time. Right? Like when you made up that thing about what the bolo was.
The bolo was real.
We accept that as fact.
I'm going to bring in a bolo tomorrow, and I'm going to hobble all of you.
Let's just call this the JK report from now on.
Okay. More details about that drug arrest from the cast member of MTV's Buck Wild.
Lies. This is a
lie. Turns out she didn't get arrested at all?
No, she absolutely did get arrested. Oh. Now we're back in the truthiness portion of the showbiz beat. Salwa Amin, by the way, just the hottest one on Buck Wild by far.
Yeah, she looks pretty good.
She's just dynamite. First episode, she was just cans akimbo.
Doesn't seem like it would be
that
difficult.
My old radio name, by the way.
To be the hottest of that group.
Yeah, but she's hot for any group.
She's hot for any group. Okay, great.
She's a Bengali. She's from Bangladesh originally, and she's just got that milky cocoa butter skin.
Love
and
it.
Just giant natural boobies and just big full lips, and she's just diabolical.
What about your friend the King, who I sent a picture to him, and he said, bleh.
I know.
Well, he's him.
He's bad on every level when it comes to women.
Oh, that Angelina Jolie, she's not attractive. Anyway, more details about her bust. It was a big drug bust from the people in Somersville, West Virginia.
I want to hear about her bust, actually.
They arrested, they were doing a sting operation for a drug deal, and they showed up at the home where she was and found her with possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver. I bet she delivers.
Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
We were asking what kind of drug it was. I found out the details. They found her with a significant number of oxycodone pills.
Ah,
of course we should have thought of oxy.
Good times.
Hillbilly heroin.
Sure.
The oxycodone. Sure. And there was real heroin, too, by the way.
Oh,
there was
that, too.
There was hillbilly heroin, and there was regular heroin.
Good old-fashioned heroin.
She's more fun than you thought she was, Ralph.
She's a party in a bag right there, that one. So there's your details on the Buck Wild bust.
Can we post bail or anything for her? Is there anything we can do to help her out?
You could. Sure. Go nuts.
Okay.
Knock yourself out. I'm friends with the producer of Buck Wild.
You are?
Yes, because the same production company that produced Buck Wild this season produced the Joe Schmo Show.
No kidding.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I felt bad for the guy. I know they have the second season coming around, so I sent him a tweet out suggesting a spinoff series. Prisonville, West Virginia.
I like it.
I like it, too. Just her on the inside, Sharon with other convicts and stuff. Yeah. How can you love it? It's crap. Congratulations to Ben Affleck. His movie Argo, which really has just won every award there is to win this season, just busted the $200 million mark this past weekend.
Good for him.
Wow.
It's pretty spectacular.
Look, he's directed three movies. All of them have been great.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing when it comes to directing. And, you know, I thought Argo was my favorite film of the year in terms of being impressed by the production. And I thought it was worthy of the Golden Globe and the DGA and the BAFTA and the other awards that it's won. But then I saw Lincoln.
Oh, really?
I know, it's tough.
And I'm like, right? Look, Argo's great. Everyone says, well, you know, it's great, especially because it's a taut thriller and you know how it ends. I was like, yeah, hello, Lincoln. We all know how that one ends, too.
Yeah, true.
What? The slaves were freed? The Civil War ended? He got shot?
Hey, spoiler alert, Ralph. Not everybody's seen Lincoln.
But the sheer undertaking of making that film was amazing. So I don't know what I'm going to be pulling for at the Oscars, but good for Ben anyway. He made over $200 million, and that's not shabby.
Nope.
And we may have a reason to watch Dancing with the Stars, fellas.
Nope.
Oh, really? How about if I told you two words? I bet with two words I can make you say, all right, I'll watch Dancing with the Stars. How much you want to bet I can make you with two words?
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on that because I think you know me well enough. Kate Upton?
Nope. Even more. You'd watch even more than you would have Kate Upton was the two words I was going to say. Mama June.
Yeah!
Oh. Honey Boo Boo's mom, Mama June.
Now what do you do?
Oh, my God.
Apparently she's lost enough weight and garnered enough attention that the producers are in conversations. They're going to vote Mama June, Honey Boo Boo's mom, for Dancing with the Stars. Oh, she's got that tractor foot and everything. How's she going to dance?
That's right.
Can you imagine what her high heels are going to look like? One's going to look like a high heel. The other's going to look like a flipper with a four-inch heel on it.
America's going to vote her off before the first dance.
Or they'll keep her on forever. Because
that would be awesome.
They love Honey Boo Boo. We'll find out on the February 26th edition of Good Morning America. That's when the producers will release the names of the next set of celebrities, They're going to be on that show. Other rumored semi-celebrities to be contestants this go-around. Boxer Victor Ortiz. Boxers tend to do well on that show because they have to concentrate on footwork so much. Former Bachelorette contestant Emily Maynard. Oh, I love me some Emily. Kourtney Kardashian.
Okay.
I think she's the only Kardashian who hasn't been on now, right?
Yeah, she's attractive, too.
And former Jersey Shore star Dina Cortez.
Mm.
But they still ballroom dance, right?
Well, don't get me wrong, sure. They still dance. But Honey Boo Boo's mom?
Her favorite foods are Sketti and butter.
Instead of getting the coveted Mirrorball trophy, they just give her a big bowl of Sketti. She wins. Today's celebrity birthdays. Christina Ricci's 33 years old today. Director Darren Aronofsky is 44. China Phillips of Wilson Phillips is 45. Josh Brolin, what a talented actor. Of course, True Grit, No Country for Old Men, Mission Impossible, Men in Black 3. Great stuff. 45 years old. Arsenio Hall is 58. Did you see
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you.
Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
Oh, they sure do. Joanna Kearns of Growing Pains is 60, and Ray Manzarek, keyboardist for the legendary band The Doors, is 74. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Roastmaster General joins us in studio right now. Funny man Jeff Ross here on the Kevin and Bean Show. When The Burn Season 2, your hit show on Comedy Central, premiered, you came in. You were kind enough to come in to help us hype it up, and the ratings have been great. And we said, hey, come on back at the end of the season. You said, okay. 2 weeks later, here you are.
What's the deal?
Happened?
How short a season are you working on?
Did you get canceled, Jeff?
What
happened?
No, we're rolling, but this was the order. You know, we wanted to squeeze in a little short season right now.
How many were in these?
Six.
Roasting
is
a season.
It's not
a season.
It's not, you can't roast all year round.
But if you can marathon an entire series in 3 hours, it's not a season. I'm sorry.
Listen,
come on, Jeff.
What can I
get
tell
back
you?
To
you
know, work.
It's a movement.
Start making more.
It's growing. I think we'll get to make more, but we love doing it. It does kill me to break up the band so quick. But.
Sure. Well, because here's the thing for folks who haven't seen the show. It's Jeff and some of his hilarious comedian friends pretty much taken on, you know, not only the audience in front of you, but all of the news of the day and the people that we talk about and whatnot. And it looks like it's a blast for you to do.
I love it. Every show day, I feel like I'm back in Little League. I wake up early. I can't sleep. I get suited up. Look at the jokes. Got all my friends coming. It's awesome. I love it so much. You know, you see it. Ralphie May's on tonight, and Snoop Dogg and I get blazed.
I'm sorry, Snoop Lion?
Snoop Lion. He was lying about what time he was going to show up for the taping. Let me tell you, 4 hours late. But
Seriously, 4 hours.
No, he was on time, but I make I make some jokes tonight. He gets me so high tonight on the show that I lose my ability to roast him.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess that's one way of defending.
Yeah, it was a good one.
The Snoop has access to the best pot in the world, though. I mean, he's primo, right? Him and Willie Nelson, they get the first crack at whatever's grown anywhere in the country, right?
He's done this to me before. He had one hit, and it's just, I'm done.
But you're not in his league with smoking pot. What are you thinking?
I went in Rome.
Right.
But that happens, and Comedy Central lets me show it tonight. Which I was surprised. We actually smoke a huge spliff tonight.
I'm surprised, too.
Or something that looks
pushing
like
it, pushing it on comedy. And, Rob Corddry, you know, he's in this zombie movie.
I love him so much.
Warm Bodies.
He's hilarious.
Just had him in last week, yeah?
Yeah, we do a scene together tonight, too. It's a fun, man. It's like you said, I have my friends on, and I don't want it to end. I'm a little sad. It's our rap party tonight.
It's called The Burn with Jeff Ross. It's tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central, if you'd like to see that.
When did you tape tonight's episode, Jeff? Just over the weekend, right?
Friday night.
Oh, so you missed the Pope stepping down.
So it's another
thing. That has to destroy you, because that's nothing but comedy gold, right?
It's killing me, and he's there's so much there. He's a brave guy. He leaves being Pope to run the Penn State football program. This guy should be a saint.
I heard he was stepping down to spend more time with his wife and kids. No, that's not true.
Could you imagine if they released a picture of him with his wife and kids? He's still wearing normal clothes at Disney World, but he's got his red hat on. Does he get to keep the wardrobe?
Doubt it. I mean, I think that's the Pope. We don't know. We never had an ex-Pope.
Yeah,
we
don't know the answer to any of these questions because it's been 600 years. Our newsman Doc's the only one old enough to remember the last time it happened.
Comedy Central roast of Pope Benedict VI. That would be great.
Oh, you got to get him. You got to. Whether he shows up or not, you got to do a roast of the Nazi Pope. Come on. Right?
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Roastmaster. That would be a great show.
It would be. All right, The Burn with Jeff Ross. Season 2 finale is tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Much more to talk about with our guest. The Roastmaster General is here. We'll return after this on The Kevin and Bean Show on Funny Man Jeffrey Ross in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He is the Roastmaster General. And his show, The Burn with Jeff Ross, season finale, is tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central. You mentioned hipsters, Jeff.
I go out on the roaster coaster tonight, roasting hipsters and Los Feliz.
Is this your personal segue, or is this something they gave you for the show?
This is something I bought off. you know, it's my own personal segue. Tripped out with a podium to be a traveling roaster coaster.
Very nice.
I
thought when you celebrated Black History Month, when you went down to South Central and talked to your peeps down there, everybody seemed to really enjoy it. They seemed to be in on it. They loved it. They weren't offended. They laughed. I mean, but hipsters are not notorious for having a sense of humor about themselves. How did that go?
Such a good point. You know, we bring extra security, but you don't really have to worry about the hipsters. They didn't really laugh at themselves. It was very tough to get hipsters to laugh.
What
we laugh
surprise.
At them very, very much.
Yeah.
But we tried to get them in their natural habitat, having coffee and basically doing nothing.
Right.
So it's a lot of white guys in sweaters with glasses listening to the Fleet Foxes. Is that pretty much who you talk to?
Well, that was one thing. They would mention their favorite bands, and then I would mention them to the camera and realize that if I make the band popular, they won't be into them anymore. So we roasted. The hipster roast was very complex. But in the end, it's mostly me making fun of the fact that they all look like extras from the movie Lincoln. Ironic beards and their moronic outfits.
I like it. And also, you cover Valentine's Day. Now, what's a guy like your take on Valentine's Day? You don't seem like the romantic type to me.
No, I am. It's the one day a year to the one person we don't want to get fat.
That is very giving.
Yeah, no, I like it. I always celebrate February 14th because it's the halfway point of Black History Month.
Sure. Do you have a lady, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm dating someone.
How long?
Serious?
It's not. It's been. Yeah, it's serious.
How long?
It's been over a year.
Wow. Lisa, can you imagine that?
I like Jeff.
But can you imagine coming home to Jeff?
Well, I'd have to clean him up a little.
Clean me up?
No, he looks
a little bit.
He looks cleaned up now compared to last time.
Yeah,
he came in when he looked homeless.
Yeah, he was completely last time homeless. He was homeless.
I roll out of bed for you guys.
Hey, we appreciate
you rolled across the country for us with no shower.
We're always happy to see you.
Do you think I like looking like this?
Well, we're starting to question that, yeah.
Jeff, I want to know from you, because we'll probably be talking about this more tomorrow as we get closer to the holiday, all the pressure of Valentine's Day in many couples' lives. But do you have a romantic thing that you do, or a move or a gift or an evening? What do you do?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I like to keep it. I like less people, you know, just try to keep it just us.
Right.
To me, that's it. Like, shut out the world.
And in a perfect world, it would be just you.
It would just be me.
Right.
I like to have a romantic dinner for two, and then I pick up my girlfriend.
Will you take her out, or will you do something special at home?
Actually, Sherry Hackett, my good friend, is having a couple's Valentine's party.
Oh, that makes it easy for you.
We're going to do that, because she's a cool chick. Buddy Hackett's wife. She's now got a new man and having a Valentine's party.
No, that's
awesome. I didn't know there was such thing as a Valentine's party. Did you guys? Have you ever heard of that before?
I've never been invited to one, no. Especially by Buddy Hackett's ex-wife.
Sherry Hackett.
I feel like we're playing Mad Libs here. So what do you do with Valentine's Day on the show tonight?
Oh, we break down all the big couples. You got, let's see, Kim and Kanye will be drinking a lot of champagne on Valentine's Day.
Right.
Because they have nothing to worry about. Fetal alcohol syndrome is going to be the least of that kid's problems. there's some crazy jokes tonight. And, we talk a little bit about Valentine's Day hipsters, Snoop, Rob Corddry. Oh, you know, and if you're single, fellas out there, be careful, because our Too Soon segment this week is about a teenage boy who masturbated 42 times in one night and died of dehydration.
No.
No.
Yeah. That's a joke, though.
No, it's true.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, the last time, just a flag came out of his wee-wee. It just said sperm.
A white flag, he just gives up?
Yeah,
42
no.
times. Don't you, I don't know about you guys, but don't you get tired after like 35?
Was he going for a record?
Yeah, he was taping it on his webcam in Brazil.
Oh,
wow.
God.
Refresh my memory.
That's a lot of masturbation.
It is.
Kevin, you'll remember this more than I do, but many years ago, didn't our own Ralph Garman try to break that masturbation record? We read some story about what the record was for 24 hours, and Ralph tried to break it for us, right?
Was it 24 hours or 1 hour?
No, it was 24 hours.
Yeah. I thought it was 24, and he stayed home and just would check in with us every time he clocked another one, and we were just keeping track of it. I think I don't remember what he got up to, but I think it was like 15 or something like that, and he was just out. He just couldn't do it anymore.
He was a champ.
He had more climaxes than the Bourne Identity.
But 42 times, that would kill the strongest, youngest man. That's insane, Jeff.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. His last words were, "I'm in here." His favorite movie was Die Hard.
Well, it sounds like an action-packed half hour. You have to get season 3 up and running as soon as they'll let you on Comedy Central, because seriously, it's ridiculous that it's going away already.
I know, but you know, stick and move, stick and move.
Stick and move. Stick and move.
How to take it to the next level. I'll come back for advice when we get picked up.
All right.
Thanks for getting the word out,
everybody.
Of course.
Anytime. It's so funny. The Burn with Jeff Ross airs tonight at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Watch it. Thanks, Jeff.
Love it.
We should sell for the killers here, right? We're going to do a killers contest next.
Okay.
Yes, we are looking for Killers fans. We're going to be playing Kevin and Bean Title Fight. So if you are a Killers fan who knows lots of Killers songs, you've got an in. Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game next here on K-Rock. All right, what about if you were attached to a lie detector, Dave, that you would get an electric shock if you told a lie? Who's won the title fight more times on the Kevin and Bean Show, you or Lisa?
Me.
It's Lisa by
buzz,
far.
Buzz, buzz, you feel that?
Me.
It's Lisa.
Me.
We had this conversation before Dave came in the studio, and we all agreed it was Lisa.
Lisa has cleaned up with this game. Like,
Dave.
Like, 4 out of 5 times she wins this game.
You don't remember the last
game.
Time we played it.
You don't go by just the last time. They're saying
who won
it all
the last
the
time
games.
We played? Look, there is a certain...
Who won?
Your contestant.
Your contestant.
Win.
Okay, that That's... includes me, my contestant.
Here's
who
the
won the previous time? Me. My contestant.
No. That's not true.
Yeah, right. When do we play it?
That's not true.
What
that's
game
not
is
true.
It? What game?
I don't know. The last game before.
Dave doesn't know either.
Yeah.
All right.
Listen.
All right. Let me clear the decks.
It was
clear the decks.
And I won.
The game, I won. The game is called the Kevin Bean Title Fight. Dave versus Lisa. We get contestants on the phone, and they have to name as many of the song titles that we're trying to give them hints to without using the major words in the song titles in 45 seconds. That's basically the way the game is played. Let's meet our...
it's the Kevin and Bean Title Fight.
Let's meet that first.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's Title Fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to...
I hope Lisa's contestant gets them all and yours gets none of them, Dave. That's what I hope.
Me too.
All right, let's go to Christina. She is contestant number one and she is on line number one. Hi, Christina. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Christina.
Hey. Who is going to be your partner here today?
I am going
to
go with Lisa May.
Oh, Christina. Excellent
choice. Loser. Wait, even though you heard that Dave always wins, you're still going with Lisa?
No. From my recollection, Dave doesn't always
That's
win.
Correct. Yeah, uh-huh. That's our exactly recollection what do you as know? Well.
All right. You know how the game is played. Lisa's going to give you clues. You try to come up with killers song titles. You're playing to be eligible to win the trip to Argentina to see the band. And if you just draw a blank and you just can't think of what she's asking for, you can go ahead and say pass. If you have some time left at the end, you can go back to it. All right. So you are the first contestant since you got to pick your player. Good luck. 45 seconds on the clock. Let's go.
These are what models go down during a show. They walk down the...
Runaway?
Right? This is when someone knows what you're thinking. They are...
They, read my mind.
Uh-huh. These guys go up in a rocket.
Spaceman.
When you're describing all stuff in your life.
Mm. Come on.
Well, go ahead.
What, you want to keep... Yeah. You're describing things?
Nope.
That's another word. That's another one of the words. Keep going.
Okay. You're grinning.
Smile like you mean it.
Uh-huh.
Nice. Four.
Wow.
What word did I use?
Well, you said all.
So then and then said, things.
No, and then you went to things.
I said things? Right.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. All these, sorry, Christina.
All these things that I've done was the one that...
I said stuff.
You didn't.
Right. Lisa, trust me. You said all and then you said things. All right, but the important thing is that Christina got 4 out of 5.
Christina was great.
Yeah, Christina, you were a fantastic contestant. So you hold on and we'll see how Dave does. Dave is going to be playing with Ruben, I think, who's on line 3.
Hey, Ruben.
Hey, how's it going? What's up, Lisa?
Good. Hi, Ruben.
How disappointed were you when you realized you were stuck with Dave?
Not too bad. I have some confidence in him.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, 4 out of 5,
maybe,
man.
Maybe I don't have confidence in you, man.
That's going to be tough to beat, right, but good luck. You know how the game is played. Here we go.
All right. We are this type of species.
Human.
All right. If you're sad, it's the opposite of sad. And you are this guy.
Happy?
No, but it's what's another word for happy? When you're taking a look at the other, come on, come on, it's a guy who's not sad and he has a different outlook.
Bright side, Mr. Bright side.
Yeah,
yes.
All right, in the dark, you do this. When you're boxing, what do you do when you
answer.
What do you do when you box? How do you practice boxing?
You shadow dance? How do you dance?
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
so
I thought he
close.
Had it.
Christina!
Wow. It was shadow play is what he was looking
awesome.
For. Dave, with Mr. Brightside, why didn't you go with the opposite of dark, not the opposite of happy?
Yeah. I'm looking at the bright side. Looking
or
at the bright side.
Or you can't look at the sun because it's too...
Yeah, hey, listen. Why didn't Ruben go, hey, Mr. Brightside?
Huh?
Because
Ruben.
There's a lot of questions.
Because you were giving him
there's
terrible
a lot of questions.
Clues.
Be gone with you.
Ruben, thank you for playing. Thank you for listening. Christina, congratulations. You are in the drawing. You might be going to see the Killers in Buenos Aires. Thanks a lot for playing the Kevin and Bean Title Fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's Title Fight.
Oh, yeah!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Oh, you're not sad. So you're this and you're that guy. And he says, oh, this is the way I see it.
These are Dave's clues for Mr. Brightside.
How is sad the opposite of bright? I still don't understand why it's not dark or dull. I mean, there's a lot of
words.
You
still insist that it is. It is, too.
Always look on the blank of life.
Sure. Right. There's
a lot of things Dave could have said.
Glasses because the sun is too...
Future's right. So blank, I gotta wear shades.
Nope. Dave just stuck with the opposite of sad. And the first thing the guy said was happy. No.
No. It's like, you're like that, but you're not sad, and so you look at it like this, you're that guy.
What but I love, though, about Dave is that he will not change his point of attack.
He got it, didn't he? He answered it.
Because he's a miracle.
He would have spent the rest of the time stuck on the opposite of sad had he not. He just doesn't change things up.
What do you do when you box? punch, dodge, weave, dance, sit, stand, anything. It's shadow play. Come on.
Title fight. All right. 8:53, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. For some curious reason here on a Tuesday morning, Ralph joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Maybe you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show because you want to know who's going to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Yay!
All right, probably not that reason. But according to the New York Daily News, currently in conversations with producers, Mama June, Honey Boo Boo's mama.
Want to destroy them.
Honey Boo Boo's mama, Mama June.
Well, sounds sexy.
Oh, I can't wait to see all 300 pounds of her gliding around the dance floor, just like a zephyr, just like a cloud. She'll be doing the mambo and the paso doble and the
Psycho Mike.
Pass the sketty.
Psycho Mike, who was a trainer and worked out regularly, was sore beyond words after that.
Oh,
that
I know.
How can Mama June do that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's an athlete.
Right.
And moved like a robot when he was dancing on that show. Right. What's Tractor Foot going to do? Well, how's she going to be on the floor doing the rumba? Come on, ABC. I know. I get it.
Oh, no. I'll watch
Honey
because
Boo-Boo's
of her.
Popular.
But
understand.
Only the first episode when she gets kicked off.
Yeah. Other rumored contestants. We'll find out for sure on February the 26th. But boxer Victor Ortiz. Oh, what does he do when he boxes? Bachelorette Emily Maynard. Oh, I love me some Emily Maynard. Kourtney Kardashian and former Jersey Shore star Dina Cortese, apparently all in talks to be on Dancing with the Stars.
Should they have to change the name of that show?
Yes.
At some point.
Dancing with some people, they should call it. While we're talking about reality shows, first of all, let's not forget, tonight, 10 p.m., Spike TV, The Joe Schmo Show, brand new episode. You're not going to want to miss it.
Only four.
S goes down.
Only four
the
left?
S goes down this week.
I'm excited.
Kid you not. If you got DirecTV or Dish here in the West Coast, by the way, you got to watch at 7 o'clock. Just a programming note.
One last question. Without giving the twist away, uh-huh. What can fans expect? Uh-huh. In just give it to me in 10 words or less.
They One, will two, see three, Chase four, be five, challenged six, a lot
seven,
tonight.
Eight, nine, ten.
There you go.
I love it.
While we're talking about reality shows, Storage Wars star Mark Bolelo, who was known as Rico Suave. He was the tall, dark guy who'd show up periodically on episodes and just make everyone's life miserable by outbidding
them. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hated that guy.
Yeah, well.
He was the bad boy of Storage Wars?
He was it was him and Dave, of course, Dave Hester. But, yeah, Bean hated him. You'll be happy to know he's dead.
What?
What happened?
Suicide.
Oh, my God.
You are serious?
Died of carbon monoxide poisoning. Was found in his car, which had been left running at his auction house in Simi Valley. Mark had apparently been arrested over the weekend for a drug-related offense. Upon being released, he called up his fiancée and told her that he might hurt himself. And yesterday morning, one of his employees found him dead in his car. So,
That's sad and all, but he should have done it in a storage container. Wouldn't that have been awesome? Best. And then, like, a year from now, they would have opened it up and he would have been in there.
Let's see what we got in here. Skeleton!
Right. And you think he's thinking about the future of a TV show at that moment?
He's thinking how cool that would be.
Speaking of drug arrests, one of the stars of Buck Wild, the lovely Salwa Amin, 24-year-old Bengali princess, was arraigned on Monday in Nicholas County, West Virginia, on felony charges of possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver. State police say a multi-agency task force arrested her and two others late Sunday at a home in Somersville, West Virginia, after receiving a tip from an informant. Officers say they found a ton of oxycodone pills and some heroin there, just for good measure. So I don't think she'll be on the second season of Buck Wild.
I don't think so either.
I hope she gets a spinoff.
Via Skype. She's a beautiful girl, but I get the sense that
even if you're good looking in West Virginia, your potential, your opportunities there are limited.
Probably.
Yeah. Unless you want to go into professional mudding. I don't think you have a lot of
is
training
there.
There. No. But there's a lot of training there in West Virginia that will lead to a fruitful and productive life. I just get that sense.
Yeah.
Kevin was right.
Say it
there
again.
Kevin was right. You're going to put that on a loop and play it yourself at your house? Make that your ringtone?
Yes.
At the Grammy Awards on Sunday night, there was a weird moment when Adele was giving her acceptance speech and this guy ran up to the microphone and started talking and then ran off stage. Turns out that guy was a gentleman named Vitaly Sedyuk. He's a Ukrainian TV host who's known for pranking celebrities. He was not supposed to be up on the stage, as you can imagine, and was arrested Sunday and spent the night in jail. This is the same guy, by the way, who attempted to kiss Will Smith on the mouth during the Moscow premiere of Men in Black 3, after which Will slapped him in the face.
That's right.
And told him he was lucky that all he got was a slap. Look. Some people will go far for a joke.
Yeah.
And he apparently is one of them.
He didn't say anything bad in this particular case. He just said, congratulations to her. She's my inspiration.
Yeah, I think he just wanted to be on television.
Yeah, exactly.
He's no soy bomb, though.
No. Wow, soy bomb. I haven't thought about that guy in forever. Right? Bean, you excited tonight? What will you be watching on television?
Well, State of the Union, of course.
Oh, State of the Union.
I love it.
My God. I didn't even know it was the State of the Union until I read this story just now.
Are you kidding me?
I didn't count it down to it.
Bean just said it. Just now. Tonight is the State of the Union speech where the president will tell us what's up.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
It's a preview of the speech right there.
Attending tonight, Ted Nugent.
Yep. Ted Nugent.
I hope they search him down good.
The Detroit madman.
I hope he doesn't throw poop from his seat up to the podium.
Now, here's the thing.
That'd be awesome.
He is an invited guest of a Texas Republican, Chuck, named Steve Stockman. However, last year, Ted Nugent said publicly that Barack Obama will be either dead or in jail by this time next year.
Right, yeah.
The Secret Service actually had to investigate this dude.
That's right, yeah.
Because of thinly veiled threats against the president. Do you invite this guy to the State of the Union?
I don't think so.
That's a great point.
They probably have like three snipers on him at all times.
Mr. Lincoln, we'd like to introduce you to John Wilkes Booth. He'll be sitting in the front the front row there for your speech. I hope you enjoy yourself.
It does seem like if you've made public essential threats against the president's life, that ought to automatically disqualify you from being in the chamber that night.
Remember he said he had to get... Like Braveheart, we had to start lopping the heads off of Democrats and stuff.
He calls the president America-hating and evil.
Yeah.
So expect a lot of boos from one guy in the back of the audience.
Let us know how that goes, Bean.
Tell me how many families have come to you and said their last fishing trip for their sons and daughters is going to be with Ted Nugent. You tell me that.
We are patriots. We are Braveheart. We need to ride into that battlefield and chop their heads off.
Yeah, sure. There's
Whoa!
That. There's that.
I hope he screams out Wango Tango or whatever his song is from the balcony.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
How many families have said, my dying son's last wish is to go fishing with Ted Nugent?
I'm guessing none.
I'm guessing none, too.
I don't know.
I just picture a hilarious Saturday Night Live type moment where Ted goes through the metal detector. It's like, sir, could you please? And ching, he drops like a broadsword. No, more. Two hand grenades.
Crossbow.
Ching, AK-47. Crossbow. Taser. He pulls like, you know,
throwing star.
Knitting needles out of his hair. Just goes on and on for like 14 minutes, just unloading weaponry under the table. Okay, wait a minute. Bend over. Bazookas in his rectum.
Ted is not super open to other ways of looking at the world.
You find me more families who have fished with Ted Nugent, and I will have sex with you.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Crazy people are great.
Christina Ricci is 33 years old today. Darren Aronofsky celebrates his 44th birthday. China Phillips is 45. Josh Brolin, what an actor. Did you see Men in Black 3?
Yes.
I enjoyed that. His performance of a young Tommy Lee Jones was uncanny.
It really was perfect.
Arsenio Hall is 58 years old today.
Ooh! Arsenio Hall is here.
Yeah.
Looking good.
Mm-hmm. People love him.
Bean did that. That was actually his dog pound sound.
It sounded just like it.
Ew, I'm a dog. Ew.
Do you think Arsenio will bring back the dog pound when his show, his new show, starts in syndication this year?
If he doesn't, we should ride through like Braveheart and chop off their heads.
Okay, Ted, thank you.
And Ray Manzarek of the Doors is 74 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I thought we were only playing that leading up to the Grammys, and now that's over. We're still doing the banjo thing?
Listen.
We've been playing that for a year and a half.
I've famously taken some pot shots at Mumford and Sons.
Right.
But it was that breakfast we did with them at the Cat and Fiddle.
Me too,
Hollywood, when we sat there and we watched them live and met them, and you watch what excellent musicians they are and how good they sound live.
And how cool they are.
And how cool they are. It really swayed me. And I thought their performance on the Grammys was really strong.
Yeah. I wasn't at that breakfast. I'm lagging behind you guys.
Another reason I really like
that
breakfast.
Yeah, it was the best breakfast.
Yeah, the best breakfast
ever.
I wasn't there to ask pesky questions. Yeah. All right, 9:40 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here now for our final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
How long does it take you to tune a banjo?
None of those questions were asked. We all got lucky. Hey, my apologies to Haley Hasselhoff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mentioned yesterday that she had been popped for DUI earlier in the year, and that apparently is not correct. And we got a word from one of her people. Hey, saying, hey, how about you stop spreading lies and rumors?
She has people.
She has a PR person.
Why?
Because she wants to be something.
Okay.
And rumor has it that she got a DUI, then was reported by many media outlets, not just by me. In fact, you know.
Mainly you.
No, not at all. I got
for the most part
other sources that were much more reputable than I am. But it turns out, at least according to Haley and her people, it was a speeding violation, but not a DUI violation. So,
remember how excited Bean was when he heard that story?
Pretty dope, man.
Yeah, he thought it was pretty dope.
I have Haley's comment, if you want it, from the press coverage she gave with it.
I just saw it there, so I drank it.
You couldn't even finish the setup for that bit, let alone have the heart to carry it through.
Come on.
And here's the thing.
Come on, man. You got to back it 100% or don't bring it.
I wonder if Kevin's going to see her in traffic jail when he goes, whether she'll be in there with him.
Oh, that's right.
Is it co-ed traffic jail, or is it they have separate traffic jails, Kevin?
I don't really know.
Kevin, how do you know?
Yeah. Hey, when do you go to jail? When's that happen?
I'm not going to jail.
All right. Whatever you need to believe to sleep at night.
But I'm getting locked up, but I'm not.
When's your
hearing? It's not until like the end of March. Yeah. April. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, make sure you circle it on your calendar so you can forget that too and not show up.
Jail.
Me good driver, not fast danger.
How did this get back to me?
Kevin says in his defense.
We were talking about the Hasselhoff family.
I hope Kevin represents himself.
You think there's a big difference between you and the Hasselhoff family, really?
Yes, I
think there's a giant leap of logic to go from a Hasselhoff story to a Kevin story.
This is a mess.
That could have been any one of our live remotes or any one of our breakfasts with you.
How dare
it's
you.
It's like working with Hasselhoff 7 days a week. Because that show we do on the weekends.
Yeah, that's Saturday and Sunday. You're
late
rated.
And drunk.
Ted Nugent's going to be at the State of the Union tonight. That's a recipe for disaster, right?
Yeah.
Gun-loving, insane rock and roll star Ted Nugent and his sworn mortal enemy, President Barack Obama, in the same room at the same time?
He said some pretty inflammatory things.
Well, only if you think that Barack Obama will be either dead or in jail by this time next year, which one of his quotes, where he talked about lopping the heads off of Democrats like Braveheart with a broadsword. If you find those inflammatory, you may think it's
figuratively.
Yeah, sure.
I got to disagree with you, Ralph. I have evidence here that Ted's actually a nice guy.
I'm an extremely loving, passionate man, and people who investigate me honestly, without the baggage of political correctness, ascertain the conclusion that I'm a damn nice guy. And if you can find a screening process more powerful than that, I'll...
You will?
How's that sound?
Wow, good. Sounds great.
Sounds pretty good.
You ascertain the answer that I am a pretty nice guy. I'm so nice that I will fillet you.
He really is a nice guy. He has an excellent point.
A lot of guys
work for
that extra mile.
And no one has ever offered to perform that service for me before during an interview.
That's not enough to get me to watch the president, though. What a waste of time that is.
Look, I know we're all yucking it out because this is the Showbiz Beat. But I'm serious. I wouldn't let Ted Nugent into that hall.
Oh, I wouldn't either.
If I were the Secret Service, I would just say, no, you lost the right when you started making the kinds of threats that you kind of made.
Yeah. What if he's got a beard bomb or something? Who knows?
Yeah, who knows, walking right?
In there. You don't know. He could immolate himself and throw him his flaming body on top of the stage. Anything's possible.
All right, I might
Motor City Madman. You will find that I am often just in flames running throughout the halls of Congress. Very nice guy. Katy Perry and Rihanna, they're
yes.
no longer best friends.
What?
No longer best friends.
Oh, what?
You know what caused the rift? Chris Brown.
Oh, yeah.
God, he ruins everything.
Wordy is that Katy doesn't believe that Chris Brown has changed or can change or will change.
I think that's most people's take.
She's still incredibly angry about him assaulting her best friend, and she's kind of hurt that Rihanna has ignored her advice about not getting back into a relationship with him. So word on the street is that the ladies haven't spoken for months. It was weird to see them together again.
Yeah,
at
it
the
was.
Grammys.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on.
I don't.
Race
no,
war.
I don't think it's a race war.
Race war's on,
because,
everybody. It's going down.
Katy Perry's white
it's
and Rihanna
down.
Is black.
Race war. Come on.
No, it
race
doesn't
war.
Mean it's a race war at all.
That's racist.
And the one person I liked on Buck Wild, the one girl I liked on Buck Wild.
Yes.
Has to go to jail on drug charges. Was it me and the bad girls, man? Why can't I find somebody
you
nice?
Are attracted to the disasters.
Yeah. Salwa Amin is her name. She is the 24-year-old Bengalian Boots, as she calls herself.
Right.
She's from Bangladesh. And she was arraigned on Monday on felony charges of possession of a controlled substance with intent to deliver. Well, at least she intended to deliver. That's a positive. She's committed. She is an honest drug dealer. She will, if she promises you some drugs, she will deliver.
Does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
She was found with a whole mess of oxycodone pills. And just for good measure, a couple bags of heroin were also found on the location where they arrested her.
Pretty dope, man.
It was pretty dope indeed. It's Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are available for your entertainment dollar. Here's what you can pick up. Did you miss Weeds Season 8? Well, that's on DVD right now.
I did miss part of it, yeah.
You can get that on DVD.
Excellent.
How about Nurse Jackie, the fourth season?
I watched every episode.
I
missed part
too.
Of that.
But if you missed it, it's on DVD. Gossip Girl, the complete sixth and final season. Oh, I'm so sad. Gossip Girl is gone.
He is sad.
He is sad. The opposite of sad. Buddy, you're that guy, and you look at life like that.
Hope you guys heard the title fight today.
Dave was spectacular.
King of Mexico was in fine form.
I always win! DVDs today, Skyfall. If you miss this James Bond movie, you are no friend of mine. But you can remedy it by picking it up on DVD.
Dave.
And watching it, Dave. Maybe one of the best Bonds ever.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Perks of Being a Wallflower with Emma Watson. Also available today. The Sessions, the uplifting story of a dude in an iron lung who has sex with Helen Hunt.
I'm so jealous of that dude.
I know you are.
Doesn't have to move ever.
People just wheel him around all day long.
Yep. That's what the best. They do
dream,
everything
dream
for
life would be.
He just lays in bed and watches TV, and they do all the right. work.
And then they bring in a sex surrogate to have sex with him.
Sure does sound yep. like fun, B.
It sure
dream,
does.
Dream life.
Wow.
The Man with the Iron Fists, the RZA movie with Russell Crowe and Lucy Liu.
Why is it so bad, Ralph? It looked so awesome, and I was so excited about it. What was the problem with it?
Wow. You know how far you have to go out of your way to F up a kung fu movie? Which
yeah.
you know going in is just going to be pretty bad anyway?
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
Just bad story, bad yeah. fight sequences?
No,
bad
fight sequences
acting?
Were great. But bad okay. acting, bad script. Ooh,
really?
Bad.
I still may get it.
Stop it! Robot and Frank, starring Frank Langella and Liv Tyler. Also available on DVD today, Silent Hill Revelation and Smiley, the horror movie, starring Keith David and Michael Bart. You pick that up. Looks spooky. That's the one with the guy with the giant smile face and
yeah.
mask and hacks people up and stuff. Today's celebrity birthdays. Christina Ricci, she's 33 years old today. Darren Aronofsky, Black Swan director, The Wrestler, of course. What else? Memento, him?
Pie was him.
Yeah.
Requiem for a Dream was
oh,
him.
That was a good
That's
movie.
The one, yeah.
44 years old today. He used to be married to Rachel Weisz.
That's right.
So, you know, she's bonding with Daniel Craig.
How does he do it? Do what?
5-hour energy. That's how he does it. China Phillips of Wilson Phillips is 45. I apologize. We never got
we
any
never
hold
did.
On today. I apologize. So since we didn't play it, I'm going to sing the entire song for you.
That's not necessary.
We'd rather that you didn't.
Don't feel like you have to do that.
Why do you lock yourself up in these chains?
Balls, 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 balls.
Josh Brolin's 45 years old. Joanna Kearns of Growing Pains fame is 60. Ray Manzarek, keyboardist for The Doors, turned 74. Actor, talk show host, icon, Arsenio Hall.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you, Arsenio. Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
People do love him. He is 58 years old today. Just a deluge of birthday cards and well-wishing landing on his step this morning because the people love him.
That's the strangest thing Pete's ever said.
What a strange what would readout. You, I can't.
What would make you say
you had
that?
Nothing else? You had nothing left, Pete? Nothing?
There was a time, Ralph, and forgive me if I've told you this story before, and this is not a joke, and I hope the statute of limitations on this offer has expired now, but they offered, K-Rock offered Arsenio Hall millions of dollars to come do the morning show at K-Rock at one point.
Oh, what? They did instead of us.
Yeah, they did instead of us. They were going to hire Arsenio Hall to do the morning show. That was one of the early plans when CBS bought this radio station.
This was when you guys already had the job?
This was before CBS.
You guys had the job already?
I think we had, hadn't we just started, Kevin? I think we had just started. Maybe that's when we found out about it. I think they went with us instead of Arsenio because it was so much cheaper. But they really did. They had an offer on the table to him for a lot of money to do the morning show on K-Rock.
Wow.
Arsenio Hall.
Just think.
That's a terrible idea.
I could have been working with Arsenio all these years instead of you
could
guys.
Could have been so much better.
Could have been the dog pound.
I think they were dope, man.
It was Arsenio first, right? Then I think they went to Cedric the Entertainer.
Right.
I think Sinbad. Then they asked Carrot Top.
Mm-hmm.
Then, who was it? Buddy Hackett, I think, was in the running for a short period of time.
They didn't have a lot of options. We get it.
I'm just saying. I'm Ralph Garman.
They settled, all right? We understand. They settled.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Mm. Yay!
He is an extremely loving and passionate man.
Thank you, Ted.
We have bad Valentine's gifts we're going to take calls on tomorrow.
Hmm.
This is kind of a cautionary tale.
Hmm. Things that make you go, hmm.
Yeah.
It's like Arsenio is doing the show.
Malcolm Freeberg is going to be in the studio talking about Survivor. Some place that I've never heard of called Caramone. Is that a place? Really?
I'm guessing it is if they're
there. I think that's a yogurt flavor, isn't it?
It's stars versus fans this season. I cannot wait.
Thanks for that info, Bean, tomorrow.
How dare you?
K-Rock World Tour 2013, The Killers in Buenos Aires, Argentina. We have that coming up. You can qualify for that. And the star of It's a Good Day to Die Hard, Bruce Willis.
What the
wow.
what? No way.
Tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean.